To offer a very warm welcome to you this morning at Wesley Memorial, whether you're worshipping here in person in the church or whether you're on Zoom, we welcome you. I'm Mary, I'm one of the church stewards. If you're visiting or worshipping here for the first time, then please make yourself known to one of us after the service. And after the service, we invite you to come through to the church hall through these double doors on my left for tea and coffee. And that's an opportunity to chat with new people or friends. It'd be really good if we all aim today to speak to someone we've never spoken to before. So I'm setting you that challenge. Every week we have a weekly notice sheet. And if you haven't seen a copy of that, then it's displayed on the church notices at the rear of the atrium. So there's a notice board at the back of the atrium there, which has all the church notices on. So please feel free to have a look at what's on there. On the 10th of May, it's a very special day. You might have seen on the screens coming up that it's Miriam's very special birthday and Miriam, our minister. And so we're going to celebrate Miriam's birthday by having a lunch after the service. And we do hope that everybody will come to that. There's more details in the notice sheet, but if you can come, then please do. If you're happy to bring food, then let me know or let one of the stewards know. So this morning, we're really pleased that our worship is being led by Alistair Jackson. And Alistair is a member of our congregation and he's a local preacher in our circuit. So we're really looking forward to hearing what he has to say to us this morning.
Good morning, everybody. We love the Lord because he has heard our voice and our supplications, because he has inclined his ear to us. Therefore, we will call on him as long as we live. The snares of death encompassed us. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on us. We suffered distress and anguish. But we called on the name of the Lord, and he saved our lives. We're opening with a hymn from the Circuit Songbook, number 13, Blessing and Honour.
Blessing and honour, glory and power.
Let's pray. O Lord our God, we let the troubles and concerns of daily life fade away. I won't say we come into your presence. We are always in your presence. You always walk with us. But now we turn our thoughts to you, our attention to you. We let the cares and distractions of the world fade away before the voice and the face of our God. Lord, we praise you for everything we have, for everything we are, for the world that you have given us, for the fellowship that we enjoy. We look behind the veil of the news and the troubles it brings, and we feel the presence of the eternal, of love, of joy, of hope. Leave that hope in our hearts, that we may walk with you throughout the week, following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we're going to hear today a story about how people looked at the world that they were living in and found it strange and wrong. And I thought I would attempt a small illustration of what was happening there. So I would like people to look at something and consider briefly what they make of it. That's very close. What was that word you just said? Nut. So you look at this, and it looks out of place, doesn't it? When's the last time you saw a beak wandering around by itself? It looks strange, odd, and wrong. But the truth is that there's something here that you are not seeing.
Oh. That looks good now.
That looks good now. Doesn't that look much better? So yes, we're going to hear a story later about people seeing the world, and when we look around at the world now, we can often see that it looks strange. But that's because there's something behind it that we're not seeing.
What?
The words. I'm sure that your teacher will explain you later, but there's a reality behind it that we're not seeing, and the traditional answer at this point is God. And I am a very traditional person, so that is the answer. Indeed, the word. We'll get back to you on that. Thank you. We'll sing again. This time, number 565 for Singing the Faith. Only by grace can we enter. Junior Church will be leaving to pursue their own activities, and as they go, let's say a brief blessing to them. The Lord be with you. On the way out. Now we're going to hear the word of God, first from the Acts of the Apostles, and then from the Gospel, according to St. Luke.
So this reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, the first part of verse 14, and then verses 36 to 41. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added.
From St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
Thank you very much. Let's sing together again. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. 706, if you are using the Singing the Faith. We are told that three things abide: faith, hope, and love. These are identified as critical and also closely linked. And that can lead, in some minds, to a bit of a difficulty. Hope often seems to sit a little awkwardly next to faith and love. It seems to get a bit less attention, perhaps. Faith. Faith in God is the basis of our belief. Faith in Jesus as an example of what we should do. Love is what God and Jesus command we should do. Love God and love our neighbor, the greatest commandments. Hope may seem slightly like the odd one out. We are called to hope that everything goes well, but that doesn't always seem reasonable. There may well be in our lives situations where we see no reasonable cause for hope. There may be situations in our lives where there is no reasonable cause for hope. Failure sometimes seems inevitable. Sometimes it's already a fact. Disasters can overwhelm us. Our projects can fail. Our plans can be left in ruins. And looking around at the world, this doesn't happen just to us, or indeed mostly to us. War is on our mind at the moment. We can hope for its end. And sooner or later, it will end. But even if it ends sooner, that doesn't bring the dead back or undo the misery and destruction that has already been caused. What are we supposed to do with hope when there doesn't seem to be anything to hope for? That was the situation that Cleopas and his friend found themselves in. They had hoped that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. But he had been crucified, and that hope seemed lost. There were the reports of the empty tomb. Remarkable indeed. But perhaps they thought that the angels had simply been to take him to heaven. But they seem to have seen little hope for those left down on earth. They were devastated, shaken. They were on their way home, leaving the other disciples in Jerusalem. They had lost hope. Well, in one sense, they had. But the reason why hope sometimes seems to sit awkwardly next to faith and love is that there are two kinds of hope, and we spend quite a lot of time thinking about the wrong one. The first kind is the optimistic hope that something good will happen, that something can be achieved. We hope that our project will work. We hope that our plans will prosper. We hope that our team will win. But that's not the kind of hope we're called to as Christians. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's a transitory thing. The thing hoped for either happens or becomes impossible. And the hope passes away. It does not abide. But there's another kind of hope. Not the hope for any particular good thing, but the hope for goodness. The hope that the world is, in the end, a good thing, made by a good God. That hope is independent of any single good thing that we want. It persists when ordinary hope is dead, and is indeed the most important then. This is the hope that if we do the right thing, that what we did will matter, even if our efforts fail or have no worldly effect. It's the hope that if we persevere in God's work, we will see God's kingdom come, even if our efforts bring that kingdom no practical steps closer. It's not the short-term hope that we might succeed, but the unmoving hope that what we do and how we do it matters to our own spirit and to the real world. The hope that what we see in the world is the veil over the real world of truth and light. And that if our efforts do nothing at all, other than bring us closer to that reality, they were still worthwhile. Cleopas and his companions still have that hope. They may believe that all is lost and their hope for redemption is gone, but they still believe that it matters to do the right thing. They're still not willing to see another person, even a chance-met stranger, lacking shelter with night coming on. They still do what is right. They invite the traveller into their own homes, give him a place at their own table, and share with him at the breaking of the bread. And the result of their hope is that their faith is rekindled, and they return to the disciples. Our news is full of wars and conflicts. Much of the world is troubled by violence. But much more of it is not. And in that violence, some people are behaving terribly. But many are behaving with courage, determination. Most people, generally speaking, behave well. We can see beauty and joy in the world, as well as all the dark things. It is our hope that it is the beauty and the joy, the courage and the determination that in the long run will matter. And it's the darkness, the cruelty and the violence that are the passing, temporary thing. Our hope is in the kingdom that Peter called our people to. The hope that in the end, all will be well. And it does sit with faith and love. Faith is about following God and doing what he wishes. Love is about caring for others. But hope is about improving ourselves, making ourselves better people, regardless of what consequences that may have. Because being a better person is important. It's about being righteous, not because it will gain anything, but because it's the right thing to do. It's about living as God desires, whether it benefits us or not, because it makes our tiny piece of the world more like God intended. And that, in itself, is worth doing. It's not easy. Not everybody chooses to do it. It's easy to place your hope in things that may give results in the short term. politics, or military power. But those things fade, rather rapidly in some cases. Hope calls us, but there are always distractions, and it's very easy to turn away. Every moment is a moment of decision, where we can choose to walk towards the light or into darkness, where we can choose to hope in the eternal or in the transitory things that will betray us. And we are creatures of habit. The more often we choose to go in one direction, the easier and more inviting that direction will become. That can be good news or bad, depending which way we're going. We need to make sure it's good. We need to develop the habits of hope, not despair. That's very easy for me to stand up here and say, but it's very hard to do in day-to-day life. It can wear away at us, especially if everything we try seems to fail. Sometimes, hoping in the way of the world may seem to be the only way we can achieve anything. Worldly success may depend on behaving unpleasantly. And if the end is good, the idea that the end justifies the means is a very alluring philosophy when nothing else seems to be working. But this is to put the temporary before the permanent. The things of the world pass away. The crises blow up and fade. All of those things that trouble us today, looming so large in our news, the disasters, how important are they really? Let me ask you a question about one of the great crises that blighted my youth. What do you think of the ERM? It was all over the news. National humiliation, unutterable disaster. And 30 years later, who cares? All of the troubles and disasters that fill our news today will go exactly the same way. In 10 years' time, 20 years' time, people will barely remember what seems so important in the moment. But the truth, the real truth, will remain. As we walk our path, the path back to Emmaus, Jesus is walking with us, whether we recognize him or not. And he brings us many things, but one of those is hope. Hope that it is the things that are lasting, that are important, that are bright and good. And if we are on the wrong path, if we do turn aside, he will walk with us and guide us back. If we have made the wrong decision, we will hear the call, as Peter's listeners did, to turn back. And if we accept it, we will in turn be accepted. The righteousness, the kindness, the love that we see in the world around us, these are lasting and important. The ugliness, the misery, and the violence will pass away and be forgotten. So let's live as if we were in a world that is bright and good, as far as we can. Let's view with compassion the troubles of the moment and help those who suffer in them. But don't wallow in them or get lost in them. They will soon be gone. Let's behave like people who live in the kingdom of God, even if that does put us out of step with the world as it is at the moment, in the sure and certain hope that it is those who are out of step with us who are being unreasonable. And however often our worldly hopes fail, let's remember that, galling and unpleasant as those moments certainly are, they do not, in the end, matter. All that really matters is that we have been redeemed by the blood and life of Christ and are walking into his kingdom of light and joy. In God we can place our faith and gain the hope that is never disappointed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that we might not perish, but might have eternal life. Thanks be to God. We're going to sing again. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. If any of you, like me, are still persisting with the hymn book, it's number 440.
Thank you.
For our prayers of confession, I'll be using the prayers in the Methodist worship book, which hopefully at least the key points of them will be appearing on the screens. Let's pray. Let us call to mind our sinfulness. Loving God, Father of all, have mercy on us. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Holy Spirit, Lord of life, have mercy on us. I confess to God and to you that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed. May God have mercy on me. Amen. May God grant you pardon, forgiveness of all your sins, time to amend your life, and the grace and comfort of His Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is our peace. In the one body we are reconciled to God and to one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's greet one another in the name of Christ. Be with you. Please 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 be with you.
Please be with you.
Please be with you. Please be with you. Please be with you. So we are now going to sing again. In preparation for our prayers of intercession, we're going to sing For the Healing of the Nations. And I believe that in the course of this hymn, the offertory will be taken up and we'll have a short blessing just after.
Thank you.
Lord, we bring before you a token of the gifts that have been given, of money, of time, and of effort. We ask your blessing on the gifts, on the purposes to which they are put, and upon those who have given them. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we read of what you want for the world, and we look at the world around us, and we see a stark and terrible difference. We pray for the world that is troubled by violence, by hatred, by division. We pray for Ukraine, for the Middle East, for East Africa, for Myanmar. Lord, give your strength to those who suffer, that they may find the hope to press on. And give your wisdom to those who cause the suffering, that they may step from their paths and refrain. Lord, we pray for this country. Even here there are those who attempt to sow divisions, burning ambulances, attacking those who disagree with them. Give our leaders the vision and the wisdom to guide us rightly. Give the people the courage and the fortitude to stand up against those who would divide us. Bring us together as one people, without pride, without seeking to set ourselves above our neighbours, that your kingdom may come in this country, and all may be brought to your light. Lord, we think of those individuals who suffer trouble. Those who are ill, those who are in grief, those who are injured, or those who are simply lonely, shut out from society. Bring them into your kingdom, that they may be comforted and have hope. Let's all take a few moments to bring before God those people and those matters with which we ourselves are most concerned. May all your children be blessed, and all those in need be aided, whether we know to pray for them or not. In the name of our Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We come now to our final hymn, number 545, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. Bless us and keep us. The Lord make his countenance to shine upon us and give us peace. In the name of God, Amen.